This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, I'm just off the phone to the Central Statistics Office, and it's official. My guest on the podcast today has the longest surname in all of Ireland. Esther O'More Donoghue, or Esther Two Names as she's more commonly known. Now, Esther and I go way back to, well, 2 years ago. I first met Esther when I was a guest on her podcast, which is called The 80%. Now, the concept behind Esther's podcast is that she's 80% happy for her guests who she gets on to interview, 80% happy for their success, and 20%, well, I suppose 20% resentful for their success, which is very honest of her and very Irish, I suppose. You know, that little bit of begrudgery that just goes, well, well done, but you bastard. You'll also be familiar with Esther if you listen to Ian Dempsey's breakfast show on Today FM every morning, where Esther is the voice of AA Roadwatch, bringing you the traffic updates from around the country. Esther is a very successful voiceover artist, comedian, and she needs to be an author at some point because her comedy writing is hilarious. I urge you to go onto Esther's website, which she gives you the details coming up in the podcast. Sign up for her weekly newsletter because it is just gas. It's a whole load of random ramblings. It arrives in your inbox once a week and it's just hilarious and really worth signing up for. Esther and I also go to Casual Choir together, which is exactly as it says on the tin. It's Casual Choir. You turn up. If you can do the harmony, great. If you can't, just sing the melody. Tickets sell like hotcakes. It's on every couple of weeks. It's so much fun. You just go and you sing some classic old tune and have the banter. Tickets sell so fast, but it is brilliant fun. So Esther is just gas and lovely and brilliant in this podcast. She brought along some poetry that she wrote as a teenager, and honest to God, it is just so funny. So thanks, Esther, for being a guest on my podcast. Here she is. Esther O'More Donoghue, welcome to Collaborative Studios and thank you for being a guest on the Cringe Binge podcast.
Real?
How does it feel now the old roles reversed?
I know, it's funny. I don't know what to expect. Would I be like cagey? Would I be open? I'll be open. Yeah.
So when I asked you to think about teenage Esther, what are the sort of thoughts and feelings that you had going back? What age are you now, by the way?
I'm in my 30s. We won't commit to a definite. We won't commit. What I think about, I was like, just feel like happiness and joy. You had fun. And obviously, I was going to meet nightmare. Oh, full of angst at times. Oh, mom, I hate my mom. And I'm sure there was much snotty crying and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I just remember having fun with my friends. And we were weirdos and wallies. And we just laughed all the time. Like, I can't fill in the details. And I actually have a terrible memory. So this is a really bad podcast for me to do. But we just had fun. We were just messers.
So what did you look like?
Stunning. I was a page 3 stunner from an early age. No, it's funny. Two of my aunts got married within a year of each other. And in the first, there's two photos of me. In the first photo, I'm like about maybe a foot and a half shorter. And I'm like, cutesy pootsy. She's a little child. And then the next year, I was wearing like, my hair was like this perfect. And the next year, the hormones kicked in. And I'm like, oh. And I just shot up. Because I'm 5'11", so I'm tall. So I was tall. But like, you know, when you first shoot up, you're just like really skinny. I had stress eczema on my chin. In this photo, I tried to get some volume into my hair. My hair is dead straight. It was frizzy and just the hack of me. But I suppose I was kind of just tall and a bit gangly and, you know, that was it. But luckily, my best friend was the same height. So at least I had someone, you know, kind of an ally beside me and I didn't feel like I was stooping over all the time. But yeah. tall.
So those teenage years of like spots and greasy hair and all that, I call it the gank stage. Uh-huh. When you go through a stage of when you're just kind of growing into your face. When did your blossoming happen? Because you are now very beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
So when did you go through the gank phase and everything and then blossom? Was it when, like, you're in your late teens, or when did that happen?
I'm just coming out of it. I don't know. I suppose you kind of, I don't know. I didn't have really bad acne, although I did have eczema. That was really, or eczema, I don't know if people pronounce it differently. So that was kind of, that would stress me out, and then you get more stressed about it and you start scratching and it's growth. But no, I think it was fun. I was an awkward weirdo, and you're just trying to figure out what you want to wear, how you want to express yourself, who you are. And I mean, me and my best friend, we were sort of different. We kind of were into maybe more alternative music. So at one stage, the two of us were going around like two army cadets. We'd go into, I can't remember what it's called, like camping shop off.
On Capel Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like going in like with, you know, army jackets and blooming, I can't even remember, combats.
Yeah.
And like, where do we think we're going? Down to Knockline Shopping Centre. Can we have some jelly mixes and bags of crisps? I'm going to shoot somebody. But so we were just kind of trying to figure it out. So I think that's what I can think of. We were just trying to work it out. And I suppose when we got to the end of our teens, we were kind of more, kind of knew what we wanted to be. But no, you're still figuring it out. Your 20s are still, like, don't know what the F you're doing. So
when you think back to...
It wasn't one day when I woke up, I was like, oh my God, I'm gorgeous. Quickly, take photos of me.
Just a gradual blossoming.
Yeah, gradual. It's still
so
happening.
So when it comes to fashion in the 90s and noughties, what are the key pieces of your wardrobe that stick out in your memory?
Oh, I started off like a trainee cadet with the FCA or whatever.
Fabulous.
So that was fine. Yeah, I just needed to be given like a wooden rifle, and there we were going off in our combats and our boots. The state of us. Not a boy near us. No, not those two freakazoids. And then it kind of went more oasis-y. And then I thought I was a Beastie Boy for a while. So I think I just wanted to be in a band, and I was confused about what clothes I should be wearing. And then we kind of started going out to, my friends started getting this, like a club promoter, and we're like, oh, we go to nightclubs now. We don't have to queue. We skip the queue. So we were looking for like little pencil skirts it's not the same as it is now. You had to kind of hunt and assemble an outfit. So I remember I had these, we'd try and get like pencil skirts in Dunn's and get our parents to like take them in at the knee. So they kind of come right down, and these big clumpy shoes. I had these shoes from Selfridge that were a copy of Miu Miu's, and they were 60 quid at the time, which was,
whoa,
that was expensive.
Yes.
And my friend, and you'd swap clothes, and my friends would tell you, I did not want to swap my clothes. I was really like, okay, you can have it. It's fine. So I lent my friend Nikki these shoes, and she gave them back to me. She's like, there's your shoes now. They're back now. And I've given the shoes back, and I was like, something's happened to these. And the heel had split in two. And I was like, my 60 quid shoes. So that was my pride and joy. So we kind of went from army cadet towards kind of a more, what would be considered more traditionally feminine kind of look. But we were still kind of looking for a bit of an edge. We were still sort of slightly off the wall a little bit.
And now that the whole 90s look is back in the shops now, and I was going past Penny's the other day, and I saw like on the mannequin a string dress with a white t-shirt underneath.
Oh,
this,
yeah.
Like, totally 90s, my so-called life type of, yeah, look is all back in the shops. How does that make you feel? Have you bought any of the stuff to relive the 90s?
No, don't want to, because that's what you don't, you just kind of wear the, you're, oh, that's in, you know, the magazine, I'm going to buy that and wear it. Because yeah, I'm tall. Those proportions did nothing for me. Like a short little kind of kicky out skirt with the belly top with like a Mr. Happy on it or something. Just, I'm skinnier than I am now because you're just still not like fully in your body. No, horrific. And a big pair of those palladiums, clumpy shoes, skinny little legs, tiny flicky out skirt, a belly top. And I like the hickiness of it. No, we look so gross. So now I kind of know my body works with me. I'm like, I'm not wearing those. They look so strange. So I do not want to revisit them. But I had them all. Yeah, like Claire Danes, dyed my hair red, had bits of my hair blue for a while. Just was in so much turmoil writing my poems, which I'll read to you in a while, because I wrote poems because I was so tortured as a teenager, you know.
It's the best way to express your emotions.
God.
Just get it all out onto the page.
Yeah, the crazy.
So tell me about school. What was your school uniform like?
School uniform was like a maroon kind of, and it was, as all, you know, total boner shrinker. Do not come near us, please. The nuns were like, no, we need to keep these skirts long and... completely disgusting. So yeah, and I when I went in first year, you know, you get the list when you go into first year, and you need all these items for your uniform. Mm-hmm. So I was like, Eileen, we need to get everything on this list because I want to do secondary school right. I don't want to show up and look like a total geek. So I came in, you know, like gabardine, grey, those were expensive, grey gabardine coat, like swooshing across the floor. And in case it rained, I had a clear full length mac to put over it. And just because, you know, I wanted to match, I had my maroon uniform and then I had a lovely velvet maroon headband. Oh. And just the biggest.
What were your shoe memories of school shoes?
Oh, big black clumpy things. Clumpers. Yeah, and then you see we went into a rocker phase, so me and Lee were rocking boots for a while, at ankle boots, and then...
In school?
Yeah.
Were you allowed?
We would have been allowed. Shot. We just wore them, yeah.
Wow, rock and roll.
Maybe that was third year. Maybe it was after we went to Irish College. I think we went to Irish College in the second year, the two of us, we came back. We're changed. We like Nirvana. It was probably because, I know it's because of boys, but yeah, but that we came back and we were, yeah, wore boots and stuff, yeah.
Deep into the grunge. Yeah. So as a pupil in school and a student, what were you like?
Oh, I was good. Yeah, I was good. See, our
prefect?
Class, no.
No. Okay.
And I think I actually remember being like, huh? Oh, excuse me. Huh? Thought it was total lick.
Everybody secretly wanted
yeah,
to be
absolutely
a prefect.
Did. And I thought it would, you know, but it didn't happen anyway. But what was it like? Yeah, so it was good. And but see, in our class were weird because we were in our, it was divided into 1A1, 2A, or 1A1, 182, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know if it was real, if we'd been streamed, but the word was out in our little block. There was all our classes were in one block, like a separate little section of the school. So all the first years were in one block, the second years in the second block. So we were like our own little ecosystem. And, you know, the thing was that we were in the A1, so we were the really smarty pantses. So we were kind of like, it was so hard walking the corridors. People were like judging us. Oh, they're the geeks. But we didn't care because we were just like a little ecosystem and we just kind of just were weirdos and had fun in our own little group because we're like, if you don't want us, we're going to just have fun by ourselves, whatever. And then by the end, you know, you leave 60 and you're all like friends together. But yeah. There was definitely girls in our year that we were like a bit, oh, they're the bull girls. We're scared of them a little bit.
And did you ever get in trouble?
No. And, you know, because again, my best friend, well, I've loads of best friends, but she's the one I've known all my life. Leah was always like, when we used to play with Barbies when we were younger, I'd be like, okay, now the Barbies are perfect and we keep the elastics in their hair, put the little shoes on their tootsies just the way they came in the box. And Leah'd be like, no, we're going to set fire to them, okay? Esther, come on, take the elastics out of their hair. Come on, come on, live a little. And I was like, no. So kind of in secondary school, it was the same. Like I would be making, we'd all be kind of trying to make each other laugh, but I'd maybe make Leah laugh and Leah'd go, whoa, and she might get into trouble then. Yeah. But I didn't get into any serious trouble, no.
That's a perfect friendship though, isn't it? That lovely balance of when you form an alliance like that you balance each other, one is good and one is a little bit daring, yeah, and you both look after each other.
Yeah, but all,
I love that.
Yeah, it was good fun.
So throughout your teenage years, what was your relationship like with your family?
I mean when I was looking through all these boxes of things, like I hate mum, I'd written on certain bits, you know, because I mean, you know, when I remember when I was in primary school, my big thing was like I've diary entries that were like, oh my god, mum's so unfair, why can't I watch EastEnders? You know, because I know why she wouldn't, because it's so miserable and bleak and an 8-year-old shouldn't be watching. But I was like, I just want to see what's going on in Albert Square.
Aww.
So my granny, when we get into my granny's and I watch it, like I'm watching it with my granny. So it was fun. But so I think there was a bit of that carried on into my teenage years. And when I think now, it's like heartbreaking. You're like, no one's going to love you more than your mum or your dad or whatever. So, you know, but at the time, oh, nobody gets me. It's so painful. I don't think there's anything too unusual, but... yeah.
And are you an only child or do you have siblings?
No, I have a little brother, a younger brother. So, and we're great friends as well now.
So what's just the age gap?
A year and 9 months.
Okay. So
I was
close.
One and they were like, come on, let's make another one. This one's incredible. Let's get it going. And so we're great friends and just the two of us.
And
the only two more Donahues in the world.
And when all the hormones kicked in and you noticed boys.
Yeah.
Tell me about you. Do you remember your first crush?
Yeah, do I remember first? Because, I mean, in secondary school, yeah. Ah, yeah. He was like, he kind of had, because I was into me rocker kind of, you know, music boys. So I was like, oh, he looks like Kurt Cobain. I love him. He's gorgeous. And he used to wear cardigans. I mean, the hickiness as well. I mean, but he's got Converse All-Stars. So we're going to get married, basically. And we just like, I remember we used to sit in my friend Grania's kitchen and we'd see the boys, the group of boys, across one of the lads' house, and we'd see them. We'd be like looking out just to spy on them, because you have nothing to do all day. Mm-hmm. You have nothing to do. You're just, you know, wandering around from house to house trying to find something to do. So we can look at them, and then we might see one of them turn. They're probably looking, turning to look at something. You know, oh, look, there's a mouse or something like that. But like, oh my God, they're looking at us. Oh my God, this is us. I'm so embarrassed. And then I remember one time like walking outside our house, and I don't know, we're going to the chip or something. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to turn around now and see if he turns around as well. Okay. So then I remember we walked a little bit, and he turned around too. And I was like, oh my God, it's love. He turned around. But she was terrible, because there used to be a big green in one section of it. And we'd see them, like if we saw them across the green, Leah was terrible. She like gave me a complex for years. She'd be like, oh my God, I can see him. There he is. Oh my God, you're going red. You are pulling such a redner. Leah, stop. Because it was like a long, like a slow motion car crash. And we'd have to pass and be like, hi, hi. You know, and just kind of totally ignore each other. But yeah, but I don't know, there was boys. They were in and they were out. But
did you go to an all girls school?
Yeah.
So how did the interactions happen? Was it where you lived and around it, or with boys, or?
Yeah, there were, I don't know how though, that little group. I think, you know, the way when you're that age, you just kind of see someone who kind of dresses the way you think you'd mm-hmm. like that kind of, and you're like, him, and just follow
that one.
And just follow. And then if your friends happen to find someone attractive in the group, you're like, that's grand. And then someone gets a boyfriend and they have friends and yeah. you end up hanging out. But no, there was a boys' school not too far away from ours, and they staggered the lunches so that, you know, we wouldn't have sex on our lunch break.
Didn't.
And get pregnant. Yeah, staggered. So I think the boys were slightly behind us or something. Not that we would be having sex. We were just like, well, I was just like clueless. But so they staggered it so we wouldn't get pregnant. And then, but we had names for the poor boys. Like, we had nicknames for all of them. There was like, and this is terrible, one of them was called, we called him Bob Along. Why? Because he bobbed along as he walked. And we would miss them. Like at lunchtime, we'd be like, where's Bob?
Bob Along.
Where's Bob Along? Bob Along's late today. And then we're like, oh, there he is. And we were like, Bob Along's cut his hair, or Bob Along's dyed his hair. And then there was, they all had nicknames. And actually, one of the girls did end up kind of going out with one of them. But we would just like hang out the window, like we were in a chipper looking down at them, and just like scream at them or talk to them. And they were used to it. It was like we'd broken them. They were kind of like, oh, they'd smile and stuff. But we didn't fancy any of them. But we had a little group of kind of pets that we would kind of shout after in school. Brilliant. We didn't go near them. No way, Jose. And then at school discos, you'd meet guys.
And so when did that happen? Like, what do you remember, your memories of your first kiss, or your first interaction with a boy? Do you remember your first kiss?
Yeah. Well, it actually was in primary school. I think it was like in sixth class. And then, but of course, my BFF was by my side. I think we were like, okay, you're going to kiss him. I'm going to kiss him. So that's fine. But it was terrible because we had a little smooch. And then this girl, I won't even say her name, from across the road, who was younger than us, had kind of followed us and espied us. And she was like, I'm going to tell your mom. And we were like, oh my God. So we had to, it was
the
like,
wagon.
Yeah, so we were kind of fast walking back to the house. I was like, I'm going to tell my mom before you tell my mom. And so I was like, oh, okay. All right. Here's the story. I kissed this boy. But didn't even put the tongue around like that and whatever. And it wasn't serious. And just a little kiss on the lips. And then mom was like, that's fine. Okay. And then ding dong. And then, yeah, the little wagon. Yeah. So that could have traumatized me for years. And then mom was like, yes, I know. You know, the way you're great, your mum would be like, yeah, I'm going to stick up for you. Yes, I know. And it's fine. Okay. Time for you to go back home. I'm well aware that my daughter, who's in sixth class, was kissing a boy in a field. And actually, I'm traumatized by it, but I have to pretend. Amazing. So, yeah. So, had my little switch.
And then what about snogs? Like, real getting into the old Frenchies with the tongues and all that?
I don't remember. Like, that was the first little peck. But I don't remember who was after that, to be honest. I honestly don't.
Did you do snogging in teen discos?
Ah, yeah.
Did you do any old will you shave me friend?
Yeah, loads of that. Like, and when you're so funny, you kind of like, kind of stand at an angle and just be like pretending that you don't know the person's looking at you and be like a piece of meat. And then you might come back. No, unfortunately, it's a no this time. They didn't. But come on, let's go around. Come on, let's just go for a little stroll around or some song. And come on. So yeah, you just kind of sell all your friends to each other and they'd be like, I kissed him, he's a good kiss. You should kiss him too. Like it was kind of like volume. We really didn't care.
Mm-hmm. It was just about clocking up the numbers to get practice.
Clocking up the numbers to get practice. Yeah. And that's, we did at the school discos.
So which school discos did you go to and what are your memories of teen discos?
Yeah, they were fun. Of course, it was a big production. What are you going to wear? And who's going to drive us there? And how are you going to pretend that you haven't taken any drink? And you have a little bit sometimes. So we went, I don't know, how did you get into the school discos? Like, Wesley was the first one, I think. And
that place was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was unreal. So so we went to all of those, like, what, I can't remember the ones, like there was one Taney or Black Rock. We went to all the clubs. All the clubs. And the one across the kind of across the rugby pitch from Wesley.
Bective.
Yeah, it was Bective, mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that was like he graduated to Bective when you're a little bit older, like, yeah, you know, like 14 or something.
How we got away with it back in the day was unbelievable. Like, you know, the drinking in the queue and everything. Everybody with the fake IDs who just give the nod, in you go. The amount of underage drinking was insane.
A friend of mine had, she used to have these really wide trousers and she just had two cans in the socks and she would just, and that's how, like, these are idiots. You know, how do they not even pat us down or whatever? But, yeah, they were fun and weird.
And what's your memories of those early days of starting to drink? What did you drink?
I don't know if we had those. I think, you know, maybe it was like scavenge for whatever bits you can find in the house, but mm-hmm. we didn't have a lot of drink in the house. So I think it was probably like Dolly mixtures or whatever in a flask or in a whatever little bit of bottle you could find. And then maybe Alco Pops and stuff. But I was never really, like some people, yeah, I was never really mad about drinking. And I remember when I could realize, like a little bit older, not too, you know, too much older, I was like, oh, I don't have to drink as much. I can't keep up with these people. So I kind of scaled back very early and was like, when I kind of discovered, oh, I could have a, like when you're older, maybe in your early 20s, have a glass of wine and just like it looks, you have a drink in front of you, but it's not a huge amount of volume of liquor because I'm just not, I just wasn't really into it. But of course we, you know.
So it wasn't about going out drinking just to get drunk or drinking out to go on the lash that you...
No, I suppose it's a kind of a way you want to meet the civilized opposite sex. And, well, no, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. Sometimes I wasn't. But you learn. And when you get to a certain age, you realize, oh, you don't have to do this. Oh, it's fine. And my friends were not like, come on, Esther, you know.
No peer pressure or anything like that, no.
I'm sure I felt it. I mean, but a little bit. But no, they were never like, I'm going to punch you in the guts if you don't have this fat frog or whatever. But we certainly drank. Remember once I got a paper round once in my like mid-teens because my mum, they used to do a paper, we used to get the, or was it milk? No, it was milk. And every time the milkman came to the door, we'd be like, Mom, your boyfriend's at the door. Because she'd be talking to him for like 40, because he was, I think he, I don't know if he fancied her, but Mum was very, oh yeah, talking to him. And she finagled me and my brother into this blooming milk round. So I do remember going out, we went out, you know, drinking in a field. And then I was like, oh, Rebecca, I've got to deliver this milk.
Oh, I'm pissed.
I've got to go. Was it a milk round or a paper? It had to have been a paper round because I couldn't have delivered my little bike. So
you're,
I was like
drunk cycling.
Yeah, so I was drunk cycling and firing newspapers into people's houses. But we certainly made a fool of ourselves more than once.
Was that your very first job then, the paper round?
Yeah, I suppose technically it was. And then it was a lounge girl in the local pub and the ensemble. I don't know, it was like Maid Marian. It had these long, a big long blouse. Like when you're serving pints and stuff with big long kind of like a sailor's top that would just drip into all the pints and a crushed velvet waist jacket.
Oh, nice.
And a skirt that I borrowed from my friend Lee, who was like long. So the whole silhouette was just a big long streak of fabric. And I was like, you know.
It sounds like you should be one of the people in Bunratty.
It was a little bit like that. And I remember the couple... 56p change and you give you the 6 and you'd be like, just give me the 50, you know, tight arse. But we got into some, I remember one Christmas Eve, yeah, going out after work with them and think we're so great, and Mum sitting in the armchair in the sitting room, it was a Christmas Eve, was like, where were you? But she was pretty, I mean, Mum played it well. She probably wanted to explode inside, but they have to know. We stayed out very, 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 very late. But I think Mum was like, if I kind of draw attention to it, then she'll maybe go a bit madder. But
that's the way to handle the teens, isn't it? Did you know what you wanted to be when you grew up?
I'll just go through my documents.
I've brought some paper evidence here now to court.
Did I know what I wanted to be? No, you want to be a million different things. You want to be, and I'm still trying to figure it out. And that's the thing, when you go through life, you realize you can just kind of reinvent yourself and do different things and at different times. So I wasn't like, I want to get into traffic and travel reporting. That's my passion. I love sitting in cars. You know, that's not like, I didn't have a clue, but like, so I did my degree in social science and I suppose that's a few years on, but.
How did you get into what you're doing now? How did that happen?
So I did my degree in UCD and then I went to do a course in Ballyfermot. And then I guess I just saw the ad for, was I doing other bits before? I don't know what the timeline is. I think I was doing bits for magazines and stuff. Anyway, just sent a demo in. The Nace Road inbound is busy but moving between the. And they are like, we have to have this. We have to have this voice. It's stunning.
Give us your tagline, Esther.
Esther Wood, a road watch. Yeah, yeah. And then sure, I've been there 8 million years. But anyway, when I was in a second ago, I don't know, it's probably something creative. I want to do this. I want to sing. I want to dance. We were into speech and drama. We used to do feshes and we loved that, our little gang. We'd always make up songs and bits. So, I guess.
Let's go through this list. I want to know what's on it.
This is when I was having a come to Jesus moment myself, you know, with my teenagers. If I could do anything, what would I do? / things I'd like to do. Top of the list. Learn how to tango. Or flamenco. What?
Amazing. That's a brilliant aim to have.
But look, go to dance classes in Diggs Lane. Where's Today FM? Into Diggs Lane.
Ooh.
And technically I don't work there, but I do the traffic on Today FM every morning. Okay. 2, act. Join Gaiety. I did do acting classes.
Ooh, yeah.
Tick. 3, I would love to have a routine like French and Saunders. - comedy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, because you're ticking everything.
Here's one. I was obviously going, okay, so if I die and someone finds us, I have to do something else. It was like, 4, charity work with children.
Oh. Oh my God.
- working with the homeless. Then a little arrow, Childline versus Simon Community. I mean, based on nothing.
That's amazing.
Then it was like, design and make handbags. I mean, what woman doesn't go through her design and make handbacks phase?
Oh, absolutely.
I had a stall in Backrock Market for a while making jewellery.
Did you?
2 weekends.
Yeah. 2 weekends.
I was like, this is not for me.
What did you make the jewellery out of?
Oh, I bought about 48,000 euros worth of beads. And I was like, I'm making bead of jewellery. There's not
and
enough
then why
jewelry.
Did you quit? Did you not sell
it? Because I couldn't do the selling. I like making things. I'm like, ooh, it's so awkward.
And what, you were waiting for customers to approach? And
yeah,
hoping that.
But I mean, I learned a lot over those 2 weekends. How to merchandise things. Yeah, just plop it in. No, it's really, it's a tricky thing.
Now you've got 8 grand's worth of beads left. Is that what
I've
you're
got
telling?
So many beads. My friends are like, please don't make us any more beaded outfits for our children. The weight of the bolero jackets are too heavy for their tiny frames. It's
amazing.
Much.
What else is on the list?
Oh, there we have.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Broadcast journalism. But where are the effort? I'm not a journalist, but... And then
Sorry,
8.
No, this is unbelievable.
And then 8.
You would be psychic.
Journalism, maybe. I should have put that down, yeah. But then the last one on the list is the best. So if I'm not designing and making handbags or being a broadcast journalist or doing charity work with children, I'm number 9, joining Greenpeace.
Amazing. We all wanted. I had a Greenpeace homework notebook. Where's Greenpeace these days?
Well, they're alive and kicking.
Yeah, but they don't do anything like they did back then.
Look at this. I've got a Green Party badge. She's Louise.
Oh my God.
And it says, and then just to keep it vague, campaign for issues, make recycling more commonplace in homes.
You're doing
arrow,
all of these things.
Educate people. Mic drop.
Listen, you're doing all of these
Hello.
Things.
Hello. Do you have a recycling bin in your house?
No, but did you not get when I read it in your newsletter, you got a special new one for collecting the fat and baby wipes and
yes,
all those.
Yes, yes, because in work I've
tweeted. You're saving the planet, like, Esther.
I have, if you want to Google gunk pot, what's a gunk pot?
Yeah, gunk pot, that's it.
Yeah, you're scraping the fat off any bit of your plates or your frying pan and you put it in your little gunk pot, yeah. Wait for it to cool and then put it in the bin. You can't tip anything down the sink anymore.
Okay.
No oils because we're creating fatbergs and it's not good.
And then can you put baby wipes in there as well? Or what's the story?
Just put the baby. You shouldn't be using baby wipes. You should try and use your old flannels or your face cloths and stuff and washable mm-hmm. things. But put if you have a stash of baby wipes you need to use, put them in the bin. Don't put them in the loo.
You know what? Don't use them.
Don't use them because
they actually don't take your makeup off. They just rip the face off you. So just stop using them completely and just use a bit of cotton wool and then that can go into the compost.
Yeah. Or get a load of face cloths.
Oh my gosh. Listen, we should be getting medals for saving the earth here.
Yeah.
So there's an awful lot of things on that list now that you've ticked off, which is astonishing you obviously knew what your talents were and your gifts and potentially you could use in the future.
Yeah. Well,
and podcasts hadn't been invented, but I think if they had, podcasting would have been on that list.
Yeah. As I say, podcasts and ripping ATMs out of buildings had not been invented yet, mm-hmm. but they are two viable careers and we're trying to make it happen. So
incredible. Right, more paperwork. What else have we got here? Give us a poem.
This was written about the boy that we fancied across the green.
Okay.
Looking out of my soul.
I love these poems, they're so deep.
Bad. Waiting for the boy, gazing out my window until he fills my heart with joy. Oh God.
Loving the rhyming.
It gets better. Yeah. Longing for his presence, hoping that he'll be there, sitting in anticipation, even though he doesn't care.
Aww.
So as realist, doesn't give a shit about me. I watch him turn around. Is he looking for me? No, he's not. I long to see his blonde hair. I long to see his blonde hair blowing in the breeze.
What did you rhyme breeze with?
Me and breeze. Yeah, me and breeze.
Okay. Ah, that's so good. Yeah. Top of the class.
I take commissions as well if anyone wants me to write poems for their babies or whatever. Looking for that kiss to return to me, hoping he feels the same. I'm bringing back to a theme, sitting in anticipation. My love for him will never tame.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's a total stinker.
How do you think these poetry skills happen throughout the teenage years and the expression of them? Do you think it's because we're doing stuff in school that's like Shakespeare and... And is it the English education that we get that puts us in that frame of mind mixed with all the teenage emotions? Where does it come from?
I don't know. It's like the unselfconscious.
Poetry is such a thing.
I have to get these out. Yeah, I don't know. It's a program we're watching or whatever. Maybe it's I suppose in your teenage years, you are reading probably more poetry than you ever have in your life. You're studying bookfuls, but you're like, that looks grand. Advent.
I'm a teeny left, right and centre.
Yeah.
And
they don't even have to rhyme.
Yeah. They just have to be deep, and then you're so deep anyway as a teenager
you're so in pain. Your family don't understand you sometimes, and you're like, I don't know.
I'm going to express myself in a poem.
I'm going to express myself with a pencil and on the top of this page is my German homework. Ich habe schöne Osterferien gehabt. Ich bin ins Kino gegangen, means I went to the cinema. Ich habe Little Women und Nobody's Fool gesehen. Sie waren sehr gut.
I have no idea what that means. I did French.
Yeah. Well, trust me, that was... Oh, now, I also... Another thing I want to mention. Now, this is more... We, in fourth year then, we did German. We didn't want to do German. We all had to make... Our parents made a choice for us. We wanted to do art and music in our little gang. And we were, forced into German. And I brought it up for years. I still do. So we did German. We had a great German teacher. But at a certain point, we were like, we are here, political prisoners. We don't want to be in this class. And we had to do it in transition year. And she's such a hard goal, Mrs. Sudway, and she kept pushing us and she got us to do the Nativity in German.
Okay.
But it was an updated version and it was Die drei dunklen Könige, the three dark kings. So, so Claire and Jill were Mary and Joseph and we had a baby, plastic doll for the baby. I was one of the three kings. So we all had, I was like, we were all soldiers who'd been in the war. My character had clubfoot.
No, this does not make any sense.
Because it was kind of more of a contemporary, well, it wasn't really contemporary, but it was more like we were kind of, it was like, so we'd been through the war. We all wore. So the notes are, The notes are...
Go on, so good.
Esther has a... Esther has a big deformed foot.
Oh my God. Are you telling me that you brought this salmon to go? I need a king's costume with the club foot.
Oh, we were let pick our own costumes, which was worse.
How do you do the club foot though?
I sort of dragged my foot behind me onto the thing.
Oh, you just did it.
Yeah, I used to use my physicality.
Oh, God.
Because I'm an actor. It's on the list. Want to be an actor. Did some class in the Gaiety. Keep up, Jules. Come on, keep up.
Oh, my God. I want to bring this play back.
Then my... Yeah, oh, we got into so much trouble. Grania has no hands.
Okay.
Her soldier had both her hands blown off in the war. And then Niamh shakes. So Niamh was like traumatized. So we got into so much trouble. It was in the GP room in the middle of the day. Our parents had like taken time off school. We were pumping with laughter.
Oh, God.
We just, you know, when you know we're going to get into so much trouble.
Been?
We must have been like 15 or 16. Yeah, because we were like, we are dead meat. And the sister Basil was there. Mrs. Soda was like, oh, her heart was breaking. It was like, you were such nice girls in first year. And we weren't being bad. We just thought it was so funny.
Just being a bit mad.
Foot. Yeah.
Oh, that so is so brilliant. That is amazing. So I'm dying to hear about this reflection exercise. Is this a religion exercise that you had to do? Or what was it?
Yeah, this is, I guess this must have been maybe like a, I don't know when this was, but reflection exercise, personal to the individual. Can we recognize true love? Oh, here we go.
Okay.
One, when I think about my relationship with my parents, I am thankful, but realize that it's not perfect. She's great perspective as a teen. Yeah. When I think about my relationship with my friends, I am happy.
Oh, that's good. Lovely.
When I think about my relationship with God, I feel confused. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I need
confused.
To think about that one. Yeah. People who love me take me for who I am. I'm confused.
Yeah, and a complete nightmare.
When I think of the people I love, I'm satisfied and happy. And finally, it was the most important people in my life at the moment are my family and friends and my mum.
Oh,
that's cute.
It's such a love-hate relationship, so, isn't it, with all of these teens?
I'm angry, I'm loving, I'm confused.
Now, can you remember writing that? Like, as in, do you think they would have been like honest answers, or would he be going, what's going to get me an LA from a religion teacher?
Yeah, I think this is one of these things like going to a group and just sort them out, and you're like, oh God, I've got to come up with something. Yeah. So, yeah.
I'll give my best answers now.
Best.
This is like, you know, this is holy me answering
this.
Holy
me, yeah.
Brilliant.
Mary.
Okay, and what else is there? Valentine.
Oh, yeah, I think this is one of the guys from Irish College. Oh.
Can you describe the outside of the Valentine?
It's a hedgehog.
No.
Holding about 12 roses. A Valentine with love. Valentine, you and me. I never saw this man again after this card. To Esther. Oh, I got my name right. Sending special wishes with a heart full of love. I think he lived in Kilkenny. So it was an Irish college. This is what he wrote. I mean, what an idiot. Like, we were all idiots. I don't know who wrote this originally. It definitely wasn't him. I used to live in a room full of mirrors. All I could see was me. Then I take my spirit and I smash my mirrors. And now the whole world is here for me to see. Now I'm searching for my love to be. Never mind, see.
Oh my God.
The cringe. The cringe.
Probably thought it was so romantic.
And probably so did I as well.
Yeah.
And
of course,
you
would have melted.
Someone sent me a card.
Aww.
Yeah. So, and then I've got my dress designs. I wanted to be a designer.
Okay, well, like, listen, get out of the way, John Rocha, because this is Irish design at its finest. Mm. So this is a plan for your Deb's dress. Let me describe it
to
the listeners.
One of the plans.
Can you remember what the plan for the fabric, just the type of fabric?
It was going to be a very... It was going to be a velvet.
Oh, a velvet.
That was going to be. I was going to drape at the kind of chest area and hand painted.
Oh, wow!
Yeah,
hand painted velvet.
Yeah,
oh, you can paint.
You can paint on velvet.
Can you? Amazing.
You can paint on anything.
So it's beautiful royal blue. It's almost. It's quite a mermaid sort of inspiration. I would say maybe
that was on my list. I want to be a mermaid.
And
join Greenpeace.
Join Greenpeace. And it's almost like a under the sea. Would that be a sort of a theme
sort of
for
a
fabric painted sort of flowers and
I think that's
seaweed.
Fair to say. Yes, thank you.
What is the big giant, is that a hole slit in the side?
I wouldn't be into that. That's probably,
what's this going on here?
I don't know what that is, but it definitely would not have been exposing flesh.
Oh.
No way, Jose. Maybe it was a bit of lace or something.
Oh, it's almost a peacock feather type of vibe going on.
Let me see.
I know, it's beautiful anyway. There's obviously a sheer talent there. What?
Oh, I have a note. It says clear, so
I don't
know.
It was. You were a slut. There you go now.
It was, yeah.
That was a bit of a slut.
What, if that was your plan for your Deb's dress, did that turn up to be your Deb's dress or what?
No.
What did you
No,
look
no,
like
I did design
Deb's?
Me Deb's dress, of course.
Oh, of course yeah. you did. What was
in
it like?
In my history class, in the back of the history book. It was pink. It was pale pink. And yeah, it was pale pink. And it was sort of, yeah, it was what I wanted. It was very simple. And I had, oh my God, the conversations. I was like, I'm going to have my hair pulled back. Okay. We got our hair done in Tony and Guy. I thought we were great. Got our makeup done in Brown Thomas at the Bobby Brown counter or something.
Oh, amazing.
And then I'm going to have fresh roses in my hair.
Like a flower crown or?
No, just like I had roses like stuck in the back.
Oh, amazing.
It was very simple. I don't know who I thought it was, but yeah, it was very simple. Pale pink dress. And
do you remember who would have been your celebrity idols around that time? Because that's sounding kind of like Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah,
sort of
I think that's what I was vibing. Yeah, but it was the wrong fabric, so it sat completely wrong. So it kind of it was like I didn't think about, oh, you forgot to choose the you can have the right color, but the fabric has to move. So it was sort of like rigid, where her dress kind of flowy.
Oh, okay.
It was wrong.
It was probably a flowy, like cutting the bias and everything, and you were just
yeah,
like a bit
so
robotic.
I went into the purse. I got my friend, there's a wedding dress shop in Paris Court, but it was my friend, my aunt's best friend, or my mom owns it. So I got my dress brought in there. I mean, probably she said once when I was 7, I'll make a Deb's dress. And I was like, okay, I bought the fabric, and she made it for me, which is amazing.
That's
but
amazing.
She was like, no, this is not, your dress is not going to look like that because the fabric is wrong. But you know, you live and learn, Jules.
Oh, and who was your date for the Deb's?
My date was Gareth, and he was a very nice man. I think he lives in Canada now. He probably still hasn't gotten over me, to be fair. He had to emigrate. He's just, yeah. So, and I went to his Deb's, and yeah, it was, I think we, Abba-esque, were the band at our Deb's.
Wow.
I know, I was on the Deb's committee. I don't know how we got them. That was, I don't know how, maybe, they were expensive, but anyway, so yeah, it was good fun, and we all ended up in Beauties in Town afterwards, as
Brilliant.
You do. Yeah, it was good fun.
What else have you got there for us on that sheet? Is this another poem?
Now, this is another poem.
Oh God, bring it. I love it. I can't get enough of the poetry.
Oh geez, now this is kind of angry. This
okay.
is called, now I've worked it out at the end who this is about, but.
Well, can you give us a backstory on the where's the anger generated from?
Well, the title is... The title is Psycho Friendly Star Killer.
Oh, okay, that's an amazing album name.
Yeah.
Psycho Friendly Star Killer.
Okay, well, it's got a connection to the music industry.
Okay.
Okay, so it's so unfortunate that I'm milking you. It's so unfortunate that I'm killing you. I don't know what else to do. Should I be writing about you? Why am I choking you? Don't know what else to do. I'm a big lip to... I'm a big live to fat killer. What the F is that? Like a big live fat killer? I don't know. I can spot you at 100 yards. I know how much you make each year. I get pregnant just to keep you.
I get pregnant just to keep you.
Like
amazing.
What?
Go on, I need more.
Should I be pissing on you?
What? Okay, what?
No one dares to answer because I'm a psycho-friendly star killer. Oh, we brought the title in. That's good. Try to put me up for slaughter. How sad. You can't. Tried to put me up for slaughter. How sad. You can't. I've had his daughter.
Oh, my God.
I'm that young boy's mother. Stick him on my album cover. Act all stupid or misunderstood. Try to get press. We all know she would. And I realised I wrote that about Courtney Love. Because
oh
I was in love with Kirkman.
God.
What a mentler.
I think you were sort of like an early days Billie Eilish.
I think so,
I
yeah.
think you were Billie Eilish before
oh,
her
yeah.
time, girl. Oh my God. Because that is like very grungy. Like,
yeah.
you know, it's very like the lyrics of a song
yeah.
more than like in poem
well,
poem. I think we should.
Again, refer to the list. I didn't want to. I think I skipped that one. I said, I have a good voice. I'd like to start a band.
Oh, there we go.
On that.
Right. Somebody get on to Imro quickly because this like, or we need to get, who, Louis Walsh or something. We need to turn him into a tune.
Yeah. She looks like a pop star. She sounds like a pop star. She's a pop star. Give that girl a deal.
Oh my God. So did you ever buy any like magazines from the 90s? Any music-y magazines? If you were grungy, you know the way there was like you could get Just 17 and Miz and then there was Smash Hits and Big. And then if you were grungy, you were kind of into NME magazine.
Yeah, no, I love Smash Hits. Yeah. I loved Smash Hits. And I remember my first Smash Hits, I think at Kylie or something when I was really small. I got my uncle to like lend me money. Can I borrow some money? I want to get Smash Hits. But no, my brother, even though he's younger than me, he used to get Q magazine. So I used to flick through that. But
to be well up on the music scene.
Absolutely.
Did you watch Top of the Pops?
Yeah, watch Top of the Pops. Yeah, watch Top of the Pops. We were the ones that kind of got into our Oasis-y phase. I could have gone two ways when I think about it now. My life could have been so different. Because I was kind of going more rockery and rockery. And I think I got into... It wasn't what they're called. But anyway, so then I kind of went more sort of, the kind of ocean colour scene, Oasis-y thing. And then, of course, I went through my Beastie Boy phase. I was a lot of it in college, you know, just wearing like men's clothes basically and Adidas runners thinking, oh, you're so cool. I was like...
Brilliant.
Again, the proportions do not work in this body.
What are your memories of growing up in a world of no technology?
Yeah, it's funny because we had the internet for a while when I was like, but we had the internet, but we didn't have to use it. It was there. I think we might have put sex in once, but you know, we didn't, I don't know. Yeah, so.
Is this now a home computer you're
talking
about?
Yeah, home computer. Because, yeah, mum, like they worked, they had a business from home. So for a while, so I don't know. We didn't know any.
Did you play games or anything? Was there any things like that?
No, we had no interest, no conception of what it was. Yeah, okay. Like we, and then we soon ran up those phone bills when we, a couple of years later, when we were like, oh yeah.
Did you really want a mobile phone? Was that a thing that you wanted? Do you remember that coming in?
I did want a mobile phone. And I think, I remember Leah like was slagging me. I remember when it was in UCD, till I got, wasn't, that's when I got my mobile phone. And I remember standing across, like in the, going into the, I don't know what the SU offices were. And I remember, like, who was ringing me? There was no numbers in my phone. And I was just like, Lee, yeah, I'll see you in the restaurant later on. And because you know your best friend knows you for all your life. She's like, shut up. What are you doing? There's nobody calling you. Your mom's calling you, you know. Hello, Esther, it's your mother. I'm just leaving a message. You know.
And you're just being very executive.
I'm in college now, Leah. Look, I've got a pair of Carhartts. I'm really cool. Yeah, but like you don't know what you're doing. We used it in a different way. It was completely different. And I have no concept. I can't relate it. We just didn't have it. So it was like, I don't know. What did we do? We just like we did the same thing, but in like, oh, you know, sent 8 million notes, letters. The letters I have at home, complete horseshit, killing time in class. Well, I haven't a clue what Morris is talking about. That was our maths teacher used to call him Morris. Having a clue what Morris is talking about. Anyway, are you going to this weekend? What are you wearing? Can I borrow your top? Mm. Whatever.
The letter writing back in the day was huge, wasn't it?
It consumed
an awful lot of time because that was the main way that we had to communicate. Like, you know, and then, you know, because there was the fights to get on the landline and get, you know, get a bit of airtime.
But even when you got on the landline, like hours. Hours and hours. The bills must have been disgusting. But
must have been.
Yeah, no, so much note writing, so much letter writing. And I still like sending people cards and stuff like that, but it was on a different level then. I mean, what else would we be doing?
Yeah, this is the thing. What else were we doing?
Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow. No, I won't talk to you till then. I'll see you tomorrow. And that's it. And yeah.
What are your memories of school finishing for the summer? How did you spend your summers?
I mean, yeah, they supposed to seem kind of cavernous and they went on and it was just kind of roaming, you know? Me and Lee lived across the green from each other. So we were the two little cadets that would go around together. And one of our best friends now, Nick, who was like, we say we wore her down over the years because she was terrible. It's like, if we call into you, you call back over to us, okay? But we were like, well, no one's going to do it. We're going to have to call around for everybody. And I'm sure we just wore everyone down. We're like, we're here again. Are you coming out? And I suppose it was endless kind of wandering around, finding particular groups of boys for a summer, carrying them over, and then maybe, you know, having a drink in a field, having an old bonfire. I remember once having it saying, well, there was one of our friends' parents was more sort of, turned more of a blind eye to it, I think. So we were like, great, okay, so we can all have a sleepover there. You know, we had the sleepovers.
The cool parent.
Yeah, that were just, it's like a cool parent. Yeah, so.
There was always one.
There was always one, and we knew it. You identify them very early.
Yeah.
But I remember once you were field drinking.
We'll call it field drinking.
And we had a bonfire, and I remember coming back. We were all at the cinema. We went to the cinema a lot. Oh, we're going to the cinema. What are you going to see? Whatever, you know, the same film we saw 70 times, wink. So we came back. How was the film? Stinking of smoke and like just you know, and I remember going upstairs and we looked in her. She had a little sink in her bedroom. You know, some people have random sinks in their bedroom. I don't know, but sink in her bedroom. And we looked in the mirror and we looked like we were Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins chimney sweeps. We all filed. Yeah, we had a great evening. I love the cinema. It's a great way to spend a healthy. And we just like we were covered in soot and we were like, oh my god, we're going to get into trouble. But she let us away with it. So I suppose and it was just like fun and just being complete idiots.
Yeah, those summers. Oh, those
endless summers. Yeah.
So looking back throughout all those teenage years, what would you say now to teenage Esther?
I'd say, yeah, it's, I mean, it's hard. You kind of have to live the lessons, don't you? And you don't really know yourself, and you feel so, you can feel so awkward and gangly and just, because I was taller, so I'm like, I wasn't, you know, like Tony Robbins, like he's 6'8", you know, but I was, when you're going through all those hormones, but I suppose you have to kind of come into yourself and go, you're terrific. You look back at your face like, oh my God, you're brilliant. I mean, I know it sounds like from these things that I've said to you that I thought it was true, but no, I was like in bits, you know, most of the time, but trying to figure it out. But if you could only, you can't have that feeling. If only you could have that kind of sense of perspective. But I mean, I'm so glad that I got in with the group of girls that I did, and we just all thought we were great, and we just were stupid. We just really were weird and made each other laugh, and that was the main thing. We wanted to make each other laugh, and we like did our work and stuff, but I suppose, yeah, just, you're terrific, and like, figure that out. Could you figure that out a bit sooner, Esther, you know? And now I just drink myself in. I can't get enough of myself. I'm going to play this podcast back 17 times on all speakers in my house. Get the neighbours involved.
Surround sound.
Yeah, it's me.
Well, we look forward to your number one single.
Oh,
and
yeah,
can you tell us as well about your podcast?
Oh yeah, well, I have the 80% podcast, and this again, someone was saying, talking about different podcasts, yeah, Darren's got a great idea, because it's really an interesting twist, like, you know, the laughs you were like, what makes me laugh, and you know, and you, Jules got the, you know, the cringe bins going back in your 90s nostalgia, and Esther, your podcast is, you're just jealous of people basically. And I was like, I suppose you're right, yeah. No, because I'm joking now, it's tongue in cheek. It's like, the joke is, it's called the 80% podcast with Esther Mordaunt. The joke is that I'm 80% happy for the success of my guests.
So you know it.
When someone tells you, oh, I got a new house, or I bought a new this, and you're like, oh, cool. And your life could be imploding on the side, and you're going, oh, that's deadly. So that's what it is. So basically, I just kind of talk to people and find out how they got to where they are, and, you know.
Brilliant. It's such fun. A great podcast. And also, the thing lighting up our inboxes every week. Oh, you're a newsletter. I feckin' love it. It's so good. And I want to see Esther Moore Donoghue, the book. Yeah, I have to see it. You have the writer ability, the skill, everything.
Love to, yeah.
You have it in spades. It's magic to read. It's so funny, so entertaining. So I need like a whole book of it, because a week newsletter just isn't enough.
I'm trying to crank out, trying to be the CEO of my newsletter. It's very difficult, Jules.
Well, it's brilliant. And people, if you're not already signed up, just get this landed in your inbox every week for that laugh. It's so good. How do they get the newsletter?
Well, you can go to estheromd.com. I know, obnoxious. It hasn't been updated in ages. But if you go, there's a subscription. You can go click on newsletter and you put your email address in there, and a little email will wing itself its way to you every weekend. Yeah.
Fantastic chuckle. Aww. Every single week.
Thanks,
it's so good.
You. And I love this podcast. And you're so good. Jules is so good. And it's not, she's so good at like baking, like she just baked me up, okay, right in front of my face. But you know, I see her on Instagram, like just like liking and supporting people and encouraging people and giving people like little nudges. And I see even like with like, you know, artists, if Jules is like into this, like, I don't know, old candlestick, she's like, this is the best candlestick ever, everyone needs to get one, and we're going to put on play, and I'm going to be candlestick as a lead, and I'm going to produce it. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. But no, everyone,
know me,
but if you've come out with a book, or you know, because you do need that nudge, like, you know, I've seen you buy prints, yeah, and you're campaigning for Michael D. Higgins. Did you not get Michael D. Higgins elected again? You know, you're so good. But you really throw yourself into things, and you're very encouraging, and you need, and it's so, when you're not sure what you're doing, to get that little confidence boost is it's so great. So
yeah, we all got to support each other. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's why, yeah, you know, thank you so much for being a guest on my podcast. So many laughs. I have a pain from laughing. It's so good. Esther Moore Donoghue, thank you for sharing your teenage cringe binge.
Thank you.
I just had a quick look there in my crystal ball that is both mystic and psychic and all things magical, and I'm predicting best-selling author will be another string added to Esther's bow in the future. A reminder that my Instagram handle is @JulesCallPics, and I've put up loads of retro pictures from the 90s and noughties of all the pop culture and the fashion and the sweets and everything. And there's loads of pictures there, and people are commenting, oh my God, I'd forgotten about that. So JulesCallPics on Instagram. Now, if you're listening to this podcast and it's making you reminisce about your teenage days and your diaries, and you're thinking, God, I used to write poetry like that, send it to me, please. All the details are on my website. It's cringebingepodcast.com. And I'd love you to get in touch. And in future episodes, I'll be reading listeners' poetry and teen diaries. You can do it publicly or anonymously. You can type it up, take photos of the pages, or record it as an audio note, whatever you feel comfortable doing. Send it into to me, and I'm making a collection of all of the entries, and some of the stuff is, oh my God, it is priceless. But I would love to hear from you if you want to root out those old teenage diaries. So as always, thanks for listening. Thank you to Shane Dempsey in Collaborative Studios for doing the sound engineering on the interview part of this podcast. I'm Jules Call, and this is the Cringe Binge podcast, My 90s Teenage Diary, brought to you by Acast, home of the world's best podcasts.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.